Right, good morning.
To be a good example, I thought I'll also bring these review sheets. I think the easiest is if you fill them out afterwards and hand them back to Casey. With three, I don't even know whether they publish anything about it. It is supposed to be anonymous, but frankly, with three students, I fear, unless you have someone else write comments, I will be able to deduce who wrote what or you write them. Okay, so we looked last week at the ways how to put normal subgroups and factor groups together, and we came to the situation of the second cohomology group, which basically describes the possible extensions up to equivalence. And I think at this point, since I'm anyhow starting with reviewing a bit again, it might make sense as well to define this more general. So what we are taking is we take Cn. Well, sorry, I should say, what is G and what is N? So, G is a group. N is an abelian group. And typically, we would want it to be elementary abelian. So, exponent P for some prime P. That is not really necessary, but it's just for anything practical. If it's not elementary abelian, you just have a pain with sorting out zero divisors. So, okay. And what we also assume that there is an action of G on N is given. And this I will implicitly assume that action is defined. If you have other actions, then you could do the same thing, but you get possibly different objects. And one could specify in the definition the action is another homomorphism. I'll just assume that such an action is given. Okay, so I take Cn for G, N. These are called the N co-chains. And the co really is just there because it was initially defined analog but with arrows the other way around, and co basically means turn the arrows the other way around. So we have, these are functions from G to the N to N. And G to the N, I mean just the N times Cartesian product. Yes, it also could be a direct product, but that doesn't matter. We just consider the combinatorial structure. So we take functions from this N times Cartesian product to the normal subgroup. And just any functions. And this set of functions then, of course, is also an abelian group under pointwise operation. Okay, and now we define an operator which initially might look a little bit unmotivated. D, because it is considered as some kind of derivative or differential operator, and the N is really intended as an index, and the indices we write on the top. And this goes from Cn to Cn plus 1. So we take a function of n arguments, and it gives us a function of n plus 1 arguments. Okay, so to describe what it does, these are functions I need to do. What does such a function do? So if f, I let f be an element of Cn. So if I apply dn to f, I need to get a function in Cn plus 1. So I need to say, what does it do with n plus 1 arguments? G1 up to Gn plus 1. Right? That's what I need. Once I write down what this is, I have defined the function dn to the f. And because f is arbitrary, I've defined the operator dn. And of course, the only thing I can use in some way is this, the function f, and I have to evaluate these at n arguments. So what I need to do is somehow I need to get rid of one of the arguments. The idea is to do this in a certain way, symmetrical, well, it's not perfect symmetrical. So what we're doing is we are taking, basically, we are leaving one of them out in one by one. But actually, we are, well, the first one is we're leaving G1 out. So we take f of G2 up to Gn plus 1, okay? And I leave G1 out, and what I'm now also doing is I have this acted on by G1, right? This image is something in N, and because it is in N and G acts on N, I can act on it. Okay. Plus, okay, now I want to do this, do something with the other arguments, and there I'm doing something slightly different. Namely, I take the sum from I goes from 1 to N, minus 1 to the I. Okay, that is, yes, you can argue why or why not, but that is hopefully not a scary factor. Okay, and now what I'm doing is, I would need to deal with GI, and what I'm doing is not, I'm not acting, but I replace GI plus 1 with a product. So I take G1, G2, up to GI minus 1. Okay, the next one would be GI, and there I'm actually taking GI times GI plus 1. Okay, and then I take GI plus 2 and so forth up to GN. Okay, N plus 1, sorry. Right, because these are together, it's again something of N arguments. Right, and one last term, and that will get minus 1 to the n plus 1 to have the sign pattern continue nicely. F of g1 up to gn, I just leave out gn plus 1, I don't add, and that's all. Okay. Yeah, so what is obvious is that this dn of f is a function of n plus 1 arguments. Okay. And we've given a formula. Why exactly this in some way is not immediately obvious. It comes from generalizing certain things in topology where you do similar things, but basically this one needs to take as given. And one indication that this is a plausible thing to do is the following. For all f in Cn, okay, if I apply dn to f, so this is a function in Cn plus 1, and then I could apply dn plus 1, right? So that would be a function in Cn plus 2. So this is the zero function. So what this means is that if I apply dn plus 1 after dn that is the zero operator.
Okay.
And in other contexts of homology, that is basically what you want. You want that if you take twice the derivative, you get zero. Okay. Yeah, this is something one would have to check. And basically, that is an exercise in basic algebra. It is not a fun exercise, because you now need to, if you apply the operator, you get this as a double sum. And somehow it turns out we're basically, because that's you could argue that is the reason for these minus one factors. They change the sign and essentially all of it cancels out. Okay. Yeah, that is not something I want to do here. If you can't sleep some night, that is something to try. And there is nothing surprising or so in there. It is purely straightforward calculation. Okay. Well, what we're doing is we're defining let Zn for G and N be the kernel of the N. And these are called the N cocycles. And Bn for G and N is the image. Sorry, this is now different use of im compared to what was on the board before of the N minus 1. These are called the N co-boundaries. And what this statement says is these are contained in there. Okay. And this D is not just a function on this set of functions or on this vector space of functions, but it's a linear map. And again, that is that basically follows immediately out of how we define. If we apply this to F1 plus F2, we basically get F1 plus F2 in both cases. And since functions are defined point, addition of functions is defined pointwise, it's immediately there. So these are both subgroups or subspaces of Cn. Okay, so because this is a linear map, kernel and image are subspaces, and because applying the two maps one after the other is the zero map, this is telling me this space lies in there. So I can look at the quotient. Which I call Hn for Gn, which is Zn Gn modulo Bn Gn. And this is called the nth cohomology group. Okay. One way how one can look at this is that people draw diagrams that they have Ci, then they have this D operator which goes to Ci plus 1 and so forth, Ci plus 2. And what these cohomology groups describe is how well we have the fact that applying D and applying D again is 0. If these groups are trivial, this sequence is exact. So they are measuring how far is this sequence from being exact. And that's in some way the bigger context where these come from or why people look at these groups. Okay. If you apply this specifically for n equals 0, these are functions from the 0 times Cartesian product. That's a one element set to n. So these are elements of n.
Sorry, you said the 0?
Oh, d of it.
if I take the C0, I need to interpret as elements of N. There the functions still need to have a value.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So note C0 corresponds to elements of N. I need to have a value to actually be able to apply this. And so I need to have the function defined on something, not the function on the empty set. Right, and if you now go through how we defined B1, Z1, B2, and Z2 before, and you write it in additive form, and unless I've made a mistake somewhere with right or left, then that should be the same. This definition should agree with the specific definitions for B2, Z2, B1, C1, Z1, which I've done before. Okay. And so in some way, that is what this gives us first. This is the general pattern. This is not a pattern which I think one can immediately guess, but that is actually the general pattern where these formulas come from. And it gives a connection between the first and second cohomology group because they're both in some way constructed in this same way. Okay, and now we have seen in the last 2 weeks certain group theoretic interpretations. Namely, what was Z1? Z1 corresponded to the complements in the semi-direct product, and B1 corresponded to conjugate complements, complements which are conjugate under N. Right? And B1 is the image of some zero co-chain, so it's something which depends on one element of N, and that element of N was exactly the conjugating element. And so what we have had in particular, that the quotient H1 would correspond to conjugacy classes of complements. Okay, and we had Z2 corresponded, the elements of Z2, these were are now functions, these are now two co-chains, so they are functions from G cross G to N. These are the possible factor systems to build extensions. And the condition to lie in the kernel, there essentially was a condition that what we put together becomes associative. This is a condition which came from testing associativity. Okay, and what was B2? B2, okay, this will be the image of a one-code chain. So a one-code chain is we assign to every element of G an element of N. These elements of N we could interpret as we have had picked fixed representatives for G, for the elements of the factor group, and we are modifying each representative by multiplying it with some element of the normal subgroup. Then we get another set of representatives. That is a valid process to do. So we can do that, and we had seen B2 would then correspond to another description of the same extension, namely where we change the factor system. So change of system. So together, what we have is that H2 corresponds to classes of extensions up to choice of, not of factors, sorry, not factors, choice of representatives, chain of representatives. Classes of extensions up to choice of representatives. Or another way to look at this is if we look at extensions up to equivalence. And what is the equivalence? Okay, we want n, we have possibly two extensions, an extension E1 and an extension E2, and we map to G, and so we have two short exact sequences there. We have two extensions. And what we want is isomorphisms, phi, between these extensions, which make this diagram commute. Last time I had drawn it at one sequence below the other one with identity arrows there, so I've just compressed where I had the identity map. So I want not arbitrary isomorphisms. So these have to be isomorphisms, not only which map the image of N here to the image of N there, but basically as sets, but which are the identity on this image of N. They really identify, the images of N are identified, and the factor groups are identified, because otherwise this triangle here wouldn't be commutative. So up to this equivalence, this classifies extensions for elementary abelian N up to this kind of equivalence. If I want to describe all possible groups, there are more things which could happen. What could happen is that actually you have an isomorphism which does not preserve the image of N. The group could have two isomorphic normal subgroups, and you can construct it for the one, and you can construct it for the other one, and the factor groups also happen to be isomorphic. And then you get it twice. So that is not encompassed by this. And you could have isomorphisms where it is not the identity of N on N, or not the identity on the factor group. So basically, you could have automorphisms of N which are compatible with the action of G, or you could have automorphisms of G. So that gives more isomorphisms if you really want to classify the groups. But if you classify classes of extensions, then the second cohomology group does exactly this. Okay. I know. This looks at this point a little bit dry. Yes, we have these possible functions and they do something. So what I want to do for the... unless there is immediately a question, what I want to do is to show you a somewhat more involved example to see what is happening there. And I probably also should say, okay, we have H1 and H2. There is, of course, in that pattern, you can define an H3 and H4 and so forth. H3 has a certain, you can interpret as obstructions to forming certain extensions, but that is already a little bit esoteric. I am not aware of any purely group theoretic interpretation of H4, H5, and so forth. So you can define them, but they don't have these nice group theoretic interpretations, but H1 and H2 have. And you can look at, one can define cohomology more generally. this is in some way a rather concrete definition that we say the code chains are maps from n times n argument maps from G to the normal cycle. And one can define things more generally. But then you don't necessarily have such a nice interpretation. So this is an example I have prepared before. Let's see whether I'll manage to run this. Turn this on. I want to have an outlet. And this has actually some, this has outlets here, I think.
Oh.
And I don't even need to have it. Oh, that is interesting. You could plug it in wrong. You could plug it in.
That seems like not a good feature.
I am sure that's up to code.
Sparks coming out both the other problems.
Here, it feels all charged all of a sudden.
It's interesting, if you look at different countries, what they consider as appropriate for electrical safety. So, when in Germany, I think the fact to have these plugs where it's clearly bent metal and they can bend away, that would not be considered proper for electrical insulation. On the other hand, if you go to Britain, I mean, they have the most fantastic electrical plugs. They are huge, they have three pins and really big. I mean, this is like if you have the health and safety officer designed. So, is that... Let's do something. We should have bought the camera from a different manufacturer than the TV. So you actually know which remote is which. So, let's see whether I managed to get this working. Network, but I want my this one, and I want
the channel on the TV have to be a particular place.
No. Or did I? Oh, I think, yeah, okay. Well, I plugged something in, but I think that is not how it was. This is... I mean, I connected the camera to this.
Oh.
That
won't do anything.
Which is a nice way of connecting things, but probably not the one how it was. Yes! Okay. Right, and what I now want to do is I want to open this, and that's not the one I want to look at. Why is it going there?
Oh, because this is action. Okay, and I want to go to the cohomology example.
Right. Okay. So the frame will vanish in a moment. One actually sees all, and you have exactly the text with there on your sheet. So what I want to do is I want to construct extensions where my normal subgroup is Klein 4 and my factor group is S3. Okay. And I've picked this as an example which is a little bit more complicated and a little bit more is happening, but it's still not horrible enough to make it absolutely undoable. One of the groups which we should get is S4, right? S4 is a semi-direct product. You could interpret as a semi-direct product of Klein 4 with S3. So one of the groups we should get is S4. But okay. So the first thing we need to do is we need to actually describe how shall S3 act on this group. So for that we need to know what are, so act on meaning homomorphisms into the automorphism group, and that we can assume because N is abelian. So what is the automorphism group of N? Well, that is GL22, which happens to be isomorphic to S3. And that's basically why I picked S3. So what are the possible actions, the possible homomorphisms from S3 to S3? Well, I always have the trivial one, mapping everything to the identity. Since the group is the same, I have a map from S3, an automorphism of S3. Well, in principle, I would need to look at all automorphisms of S3. But actually, the inner ones are just relabeling, so I can look at them up to conjugacy. And there is a function, get all homomorphism classes, which actually does this. So it finds the trivial one, it finds, then there is only one where the image has order 6 because all the other ones come by conjugacy. And the other question is, could the homomorphism have a non-trivial kernel? Well, the only other normal subgroup is A3. Then the kernel would have order 3, the image would have order 2. But all the subgroups of order 2 in S3 are conjugate, so there is only one candidate up to equivalence. So you could list more homomorphisms, but that is just basically relabeling. So here already I've done a little bit of reduction. And in some way, so if you wanted to classify all the groups, there are reductions already happening here in terms of classifying the possible actions. Okay. Right. So my factor group has order 6. So I have 6 elements. If I want to look at possible factor systems, I would have cofactors for 6 times 6 for 36 entries. But we make the convention that if one of the arguments is the identity, I want it to be 1. So I don't have 36, I only have 25. Okay. So what I want to do, and some of the things you don't really need to go through in detail. I've just given it all if you want to. Oh, that's not a question. If you want to try this in another example on your own, that you could basically copy that code and it should work in other situations. So what I now want to do is I want to look what are the 25 pairs A, B. And I need to know how to, non-identity elements of the factor group. And I need to calculate how these elements multiply. So I take the elements of the factor group, I take their possible products of the non-identity elements because the identity is in the first position, and I calculate how do these multiply together as products. Okay, just what is the position in there? Okay, so what are the cofactors? They are elements in Z2, the factor systems. They are 2 cochains. So they are functions on these, with a restriction, they are functions on these 25 non-identity pairs, with values in N. Okay. Well, N is a two-dimensional vector space over GF2. So if I have functions on 25 possible points with values in a two-dimensional vector space, it's overall a 50-dimensional vector space. And that's how I will represent these two code chains as vectors in 50-dimensional space. Okay, this is just a vector group of order 6, and I have 50-dimensional space. That grows quite quickly. And that's essentially the reason why, by hand, you can really just do very small examples. Right. So, co-boundaries, that is B2. These are images of one code chains. One code chains are functions from G to N. So I need to take functions from G to N. If I want all functions from G to N, well, I can interpret such a function as a six-tuple of elements of N. So six tuples of elements of GF2 squared. I construct these. Okay, and now this is what this map, what the derivative map does, how we wrote it before additively. So I take all the possible map and I apply this operation to them and get vectors of length 50. Okay, and that is essentially here, that is the formula for the image, okay, and then I have to calculate an image under the action. Act was the homomorphism from the group G to the group of matrices. And therefore, by multiplying this image is a matrix, by multiplying this vector with a matrix, I get the action I want. Okay, and I get vectors of length 50. Well, and in total, what did I say? I have all the possible maps, so there are, six, I have 4 to the 6 possible maps. So I get 4 to the 6 such vectors. And of course, there is no reason that they're linear independent. They can't all be linear independent. It turns out, in total, these vectors have rank 8. And I just pick, I pick vectors as long as they stay independent, and I find, yes, these 8 vectors actually happen to be a basis.
Is that just greedy algorithm?
That's a greedy algorithm, yes. This is just a greedy algorithm by hand, yes. Cool. Yeah. And what I find, if you look at the numbers, they are powers of, I think there is more of a pattern in there because this is always power of 2 plus 1. And actually, the next example, the next one is 257. So there is more happening, but yeah, that's okay. So that's the two co-boundaries. Next, I need the two co-cycles. So I need maps which fulfill this condition. Okay. Now, and I need to have this for all triples A, B, C. So, what I do is I write this down as equations on vectors. So I take all triples, and I only need the non-identity elements. Okay, and this is now basically writing down a matrix for this. And that's the one bit which is slightly tricky to code initially. It's just writing down a matrix for these equations. One row in every, for each equation. I find what is the possible products, and I need to know where is the position because of that element, because I interpret these vectors, I cut them as images written one after the other. So that has these equations. And the equations were written as rows in a matrix. But I'm also, GAP works by default with row vectors. So then I actually would need to rewrite the equations as columns in a matrix. That's why I'm transposing. Well, if you look at the dimensions, otherwise the dimensions don't come out right. That's the easiest way to if you're in doubt, to check what is happening. Okay. And I calculate the kernel of that map, that is Z2, these are the two co-cycles, and I find this is a space of dimension 10. So two cone boundaries are dimension 8, two co-cycles are dimension 10, so my cohomology group is two-dimensional, has order 4. So there are 4 possible extensions I can build up to this equivalence. Okay. I might want to get, instead, since I have a vector space, I want to have probably vectors which represent this vector space. So this space, Steinitz vectors, takes a vector space and a subspace and gives me vectors which would describe a vector space complement. So vectors whose span would describe the vector space. And that's just what I'm doing here. And I take the elements, so this would be a basis, and I take then the span of this basis to get the 4 vectors, which really would describe the extensions. Okay. The zero element in this vector space will correspond to the semi-direct product. Whenever I have an action, I have a semi-direct product. The semi-direct product is the one where the factor system is trivial, right? And each such vector basically describes the factor system. This vector of length 50, you cut into 25 bits of length 2, and each bit of length 2 is the value of the 2 co-cycle, of the factor system, for that pair. Which pair is it? It's the pairs in the order as I wrote them down initially, when I calculated these. Okay. Well, if the values are all 0, then I don't have cofactors, I have a semi-direct product. And since I have a trivial action, this actually degenerates to a direct product. Okay, and I just need to make it as a permutation group so I could construct that group. Okay, there are 3 other groups which I need to construct. And these actually, I need to somehow describe them to the computer. And the easiest way to describe them is as a presentation. That I say, I have elements for n, I take a presentation for n, I take a presentation for g, but I need to be a bit more careful. No, sorry, I don't take it. Sorry, I take a presentation for n, I take elements which correspond, generators which correspond to the elements of g, and now I write down multiplication rules, but not multiplication rules for g, but write them down together with these cofactors, which I going to get from the vector. Okay. So, and since to avoid actually having 6 generators there, I write the factor group in 2 generators. So, but I write still the multiplication rules. So I have words AB, BA, AB square, and so forth to have the standard generator. So what is happening there? I create a free group on these 4 generators. Okay. This homomorphism, and I store it as epimorphism, is just that I can factor elements of G, of the S3, in the A and B from here. That's just to have the right letters there. And that's why I store this slightly weird map there. So this will give me, for every element of G, a product in these 2 generators. Okay. And now I do the following. Okay, this just gives me AI, I wrote down BI. This would be the matrix, a matrix in characteristic 0, which describes the action. Just so I can write, okay. Now, what are my relations? My relations involve N is C2 cross C2. I describe the action of A and B on X and Y. And this action is encoded in these matrices. Of course, the action in this case is trivial, so this is overkill what I'm writing down. But this would work generically for whatever action you choose. And I get these relations. Okay, so that describes N and the action of G, of the 2 generators of G on N. Okay, and now I encode the multiplication of representatives. So I need to go through all pairs, and I basically encode that multiplication rule. And I encode it in the form as a relator. So what I'm doing is I take the corresponding co-cycle, which describes that extension, and what I'm just doing is I calculate first what are the corresponding cofactors, and then I, yeah, this is just an auxiliary function to write an element in A and B, and what I'm just doing is forming now exactly these products. Take the product G times H tau inverse times G tau times H tau divided by the corresponding cofactor. Okay. Why did I write divide? Sorry, I think that should have been multiplication. Sorry, right? Because we want the product there, so this actually should have been multiplication. Which in this case doesn't matter because it's elements of n have order 1 or 2. So that's why things work. But yeah, no, that should have been multiplication, sorry. Because I'm dividing already off here, yeah. Okay.
I mean, from the last slide you had about the root, it doesn't have to do with the relators or anything, does it? Because is that what you're encoding, right, the relator?
I'm encoding the multiplication rule for the representatives.
Right. I mean, I just had, on the last slide even,
yeah.
you had HR divided by MG, was it like at the bottom, middle?
Sorry. So what do I do?
So should that be?
Is this, yeah, so the why did I write a divide there? There you go, right. That should also be a product, right?
I don't think so. I think that's right, because we multiply on the using the representatives, we multiply by the inverse on the left, and that's where the...
Sorry. I do, yes. Sorry. I was right. Yes. So I divide... Yeah, sorry. So this was correct. So I want to get rid of this, and I divide by this from the left, and I would divide by this from the right. Sorry. So... actually, that was correct. Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I think.
Yeah, no, okay, yeah, no, that's the relators. Okay. I take these and I add these relations together to the other ones and I form the group, and it turns out to be a group of order 24, as we expected. Okay. Right. Yeah, so this is unfortunately the point where I need to stop since you have class.
If it's like, just like, a few minutes, I'm like ready to go.
Are you okay?
So, yeah,
thank you. Okay, so I can ask, for example, there is a function, structure description. This is a very brute force, highly exponential algorithm. This will only work for very small groups, but this is small enough that one can. And it turns out you could write it in this form as a C2 cross such a semi direct product. That is not completely obvious. This group is one, if you came and someone asked you, write down groups of order 24. I would not have immediately come up with this group. It exists, but we saw it exists. Okay, so this was one of the extensions. There are two more. Okay, so we do the same thing just for a different vector. Okay, and if we do this, however, we see that, okay, if you now compare here, the only non-identity entries are y. If you do this for the next vector, you get that the only no-identity entries are in the same positions, and they are called there. They would be x. Okay. So what is happening there? I could do a relabeling of n or a base change of n. Then I get an extension which is not equivalent in this notation because I'm changing n. But of course I get the same kind of group if I say the non-trivial co-cycles all involve y or they involve x. Okay, I can rename x and y and I get the same group. So if I do this, I will get another group which has to be isomorphic. It's not an equivalent extension, but it's an isomorphic group. And I can have the same thing with x times y as well. So that's why I get only two isomorphism types of groups, even though the cohomology group has order 4, because the three non-identity ones in a certain way are equivalent. that is one of the cases where one needs what one needs to do. Okay. And if we do the other ones, we have other homomorphisms. Okay, we could act where the kernel has order 3, so the action is only the quotient C2. So I do the same thing, I take this action, and now this is just the same code as before copied. I calculate the image, and I get something of rank 9. I go through this lengthy-ish calculation for constructing a matrix, calculating the kernel to get the co-cycles, and that also has rank 9. So the cohomology group is trivial. So for that action, I only have the semi-direct product. Okay. I get one group. And I can take the full action, and again, I get the same thing happening. The cohomology group is trivial. I get only one semi-direct product, and that actually is S4. Okay. And what one could do is actually to just go through the list, stored list of groups of order 24, and test. So these groups which I got, they have in this list these identification numbers, and I could check, on the other hand, I want all groups of order 24 which have a normal subgroup which is Klein 4 and the factor group is non-abelian. Factor group of order 6 non-abelian is sufficient to say it is S3. And I get four groups with the same identification numbers. So indeed, we got all the groups of that type. Okay. And yes, this is a little bit lengthy. So this is really more, if you want to play with it, this code in principle should be good enough to do this in other more ugly examples. Thank you very much, and I'll see you on Thursday.
Is your code on the